with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Talk about an important verse. But it is nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And I think this passage of Scripture goes to that, the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of us. And I just want to preach tonight on more of His Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I pray that you'd open up our eyes to the working of your Holy Spirit in our life, that we would know more of your working. I think of the call in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "But be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I pray that we would seek your filling tonight. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture, I think the title of the message is More of a Spirit, but if I had a subtitle, it would be The Holy Spirit, the Neglected Agent of the Christian Life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 calls us, reminds us in the Word of God about how much we need Him in our life. And Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, we'll come to it here in a moment, will remind us of how He came into our heart and in our life and the desperate need of it. And I think as I look around, there is a need in our life, in our culture, in the Christian culture, in my own personal life, for that filling of the Holy Spirit. I think if we're not careful, we lose sight of that. We neglect it. We kind of go through life without really truly seeking Him. But there's a desperate need of it. You see that need, first of all, in the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit reminds us that He is a person. It reminds us of who He is. The Holy Spirit is not just some abstract idea or some feeling or some thought, but it is the person of the Lord. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, the Lord reminds us of that. But I want to go quickly tonight, and this may feel a little bit more like a Sunday school lesson than a sermon, but I think it's extremely important. The first work of the Holy Spirit, we see this, is He births those, makes us a new nature. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this: "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Aren't you thankful that you're a new creature in Him? The Lord would tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That Holy Spirit of God is the one who makes us a child of God. And I'm thankful for that. May of 1995, Madera Baptist Church, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. I was born again. Not that physical birth for June 3rd, 1980, but that spiritual birth that took place when I was saved. That same Creator who moved upon creation, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light." That same God that created this world is the same Holy Spirit who moved inside of us at salvation and made us a new creature. Made us a child of God and moved in our life and made us a new creature. But not only does He birth us, but He seals us. In Ephesians 1, 12 through 14, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom all ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Aren't you glad you cannot lose your salvation? Friend, you cannot lose it and you cannot walk away from it. That moment of salvation, God made you a new creature. He moved in and He took you and made you His child. He made you a son of God and He sealed you unto the day of redemption. And He gave us this commitment and this promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For you and I to be able to lose our salvation, our God would have to be a liar and the Holy Spirit would have to break His word. But He moved inside. He made us His child and He sealed us unto the day of redemption. He did a work at salvation and He does a sealing work in our life, but it doesn't end there. He confirms that work in our life. Romans 8, 15 through 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Boy, that Holy Spirit of God is the one who confirms it in our heart. I think of your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Talk about the armor of God, that peace. There's two elements to what we do with our feet. We stand in them and we go with them, don't we? The gospel of peace. We're at peace because we know what our Lord has done for us. And that Holy Spirit of God is the one who confirms in our heart that we are His. He convicts us. He encourages us and He confirms within us that we're His child. I said this already, but one of the things He does is He convicts. John 16, 8 says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Boy, He convicts this world. You ever share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone and you're opening up the scripture and maybe you're reasoning with them a little bit, pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is it that cuts to the quick of the heart? A man's not saved with a head knowledge. He's saved with a heart belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that pierces to a man's heart through the scripture? It is the Holy Spirit of God. He convicts. And He still does that convicting work in our life, doesn't He? You ever open up the scripture and the Holy Spirit of God pierces to your heart about something in your life or sit under some preaching and God convicts your heart and He does a convicting work in our life. He comforts us. Acts chapter 9, verses 31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The Lord would warn us in John that He would, that in the world we would face tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. And He would tell them that He would not leave them comfortless, but He would send the Comforter. Have you ever needed the Comforter in your life? Through loss, through hardship, through struggle. It is the Holy Spirit of God that comforts a Christian. He leads. Romans chapter 8, 12 through 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Luke 4, 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You ever look at Paul's life in the book of Acts and see how the Holy Spirit of God led him? It is the Holy Spirit of God that leads us and directs us in our life. He does a leading work in our life. He often does that through the Scripture. John chapter 16, 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, He would give further detail on how the Holy Spirit of God teaches us and leads us in our life. He is the one who brings us and makes us a new creature. He's the one who seals us into the day of redemption. He is the one who confirms it in our life. He is the one who comforts us in our life. He is the one who convicts us in our life. He is the one who encourages us in our life. He's the one that bears fruit in our life. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit in our life, the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness, the temperance, the faith that we need in our life. Who is it that produces those things in our heart and life? It is the Holy Spirit of God. He empowers us in service. Acts 4:31-33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The scripture would remind us of the boldness that they had. Miss Grover mentioned that, a boldness. Can I tell you that one of the things the Holy Spirit of God does is he produces a boldness, and it catches my attention. And that both our missionaries' testimony and in that story in the book of Acts, it was just after they faced persecution for their faith and for what Peter and John did as a man came, as a man was healed and came to know the Lord, that they didn't necessarily, if you read the prayer that they prayed found in the book of Acts, they didn't pray for the circumstance to change. They prayed for boldness. And God gave them boldness in his power, and he equipped them, empowered them for service. And so we see in Galatians chapter 2, there is a call that the life that we live, it's no longer us that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There is a calling that we would be filled with him. Not just indwelt, that thing that happened, that moment that happened at the moment of salvation, but filled with him. The scripture gives us some idea of what happens when we don't have his filling. When we're absent of his filling. For the one who doesn't have him at all, who's absent, it's a lost life. No Holy Spirit, no conversion. It is a condemned life. Some who have never come to know Christ and have never known the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they've never been born again, they are condemned already to an eternity separated, not from their Father, for he is not their Father, because they have not been born again. But notice what he says of those who don't have that filling. I look at here at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boy, it's a self-life, isn't it? It's a flesh-filled life. It's a life filled with self-will. Our own desires and our own wants, striving to accomplish our desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is a contentious life. It is a life that's saying, I'm going to do what I want to do in my time and in my way. It is the life that is lived, if you will, in the flesh. In the flesh. And I tell you something, you cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. The Christian life is meant to be lived the same way that you are saved, by grace, through faith, by the working of the Holy Spirit through our life. And yet, when we don't seek His filling, it is the flesh-filled life. It's a life of just doing what we want, when we want, and oftentimes attributing God's name to what is not God's work. It's a fleshly life. It's a victoryless life. Notice what he says there in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Friend, you can be determined as you want to be determined. But if you don't have the filling of the Spirit, you cannot do the things that ye would. It's a powerless life in service. You can teach a Sunday school class. Without him, you can do nothing. You can teach a junior church lesson, you can run a bus route, and it's a powerless existence in life. It's a comfortless life. Without him, where's the comfort? It's a life that grows bitter. Rather than trusting Him through the hurts of life, the hurt runs into bitterness, and the bitterness runs into callousness, and the callousness runs into uselessness. It's a life that is victoryless through the hurts of life. It is a life that is without the power of God, is without the comfort of God. It's minus the fruits of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering. And I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world in which I'm afraid many times that Christians are living the victoryless life. I don't have a peace. I don't have a love. I don't have a joy. I feel empty in my life. I feel empty. Without power, without victory, without comfort, without conviction sometimes. Without conviction. Missing those things. Without confirmation of salvation. Sometimes wondering, am I even saved? What's the problem? Is it that God gave up on His promise to seal us to the day of redemption? Absolutely not. But it could be a lack of His filling. Could be a lack of His filling. It's a victoryless life. It's a life of self-will and becomes a listless life. They that are led of the Spirit. I look around and it seems like in our culture today, and even in our Christian culture, it seems like people are living a pointlessness. I don't know what is next for me. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think every teenager and every person has to have the next 10 years planned out in their life. But why is it that a Christian who has the Holy Spirit of God, who leads us about and leads us around, doesn't even know what to do next, sits there empty without the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness, without the comfort, without the power, and without a point to what they do in their life? It is a life in which oftentimes we are content to sit in front of the TV or playing video games or occupying our time without point or existence. What is the problem? The hindrance, the emptiness, a lack of filling in our life. It is, friend, a life without His filling. It is a fleshly life. It is a victoryless life. A victory that was won at Calvary, not experienced on a daily basis. It is a victoryless life. It becomes a sinful life. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings. It leads into a sinfulness. Now if someone doesn't know Christ, it can continue. But for those that know Christ, God won't let you stay there. It is a sinful life. And a chastened life. It is a miserable life. It's a life that descends into sin. And as a result of it, God says, you belong to me. And you can't live that way. I'm going to chasten you back to me. Could it be, friend, that you can almost see it. You could see it in our culture. And in our Christian culture. I'm not talking about there. We know it out there. We can see it in the lives of those that are around us, say, that flesh-filled life, that willful life, doing what we want when we want and how we want to do it, and oftentimes attributing the name of God to it and saying, I will do what I want when I want to do it. It's a pragmatic life for long, some less willful, but that fleshly life that I'm just making it by. I'm just trying to live here while I'm here. It's the way it is. I know what the Bible says, but this is the way the world is. It's listless and pointless. It's victoryless. It's a life without victory and comfort and joy and gladness. Victory over sin. And if we let it go so far, it'll take us into the sin that leaves us with a sinful, chastened life. When God intended through His Spirit for us to have everything else. That we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And what is the problem? Is it a lack of character? No. It is a lack of filling. It is a lack of filling. The question is this: are you filled? Are you filled? If you're saved, He lives there. But when you're surrendered, we can be filled. We see the path. He's saying there's the hindrances to it. We see what it is, if you will, if we're not filled, if there's an absence. But how do we hinder Him? If He's there in my heart, how do I hinder Him? Well, first of all, we can grieve Him, can't we? Look at these verses in Galatians chapter, or go back to Ephesians if you would. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, he would say in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." But skip up to verse 8 in chapter 5. "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? Light." Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I'm going to tell you this. We live in a culture in which the things that are done in secret that it's a shame even to speak about are broadcasted into the lives of God's people through its media, through its music, through its jokes, through its living. Is it any wonder that we live in a listless, sinful, lack of point, unspirit-led, uncomfortless, defeated life? Is it any wonder? "For which God said has no fellowship, we often walk hand in hand with." What God says to undo from your life, it's like we grab a hold of it and say, "I want His filling, but I want the world at the same time." And in that, we grieve Him. We grieve Him. And you've got to make a decision. This Christian life can't be lived in your flesh. It's lived by the Spirit of God. Let go of the world. Let go of Him. Some are trying to have both, trying to ride the fence with God. And God, the Holy Spirit of God, doesn't work that way. He's grieved by what happens, by the sin of it. And we as Christians, if we're not careful, we sit back and we laugh about it. We joke about it. We find humor in it. We find pleasure in it. We grieve Him. And as a result of it, it's seen at its greatest in our youth. Listlessness. Pointlessness. No victory. No peace. No joy. And a matter of fact, beginning to try to find it in the things of this world, which leads into sin and away from God. No victory. Can I tell you something? Here's the counseling session for you. Are you filled? Preacher, I feel empty. Preacher, I'm lacking joy. I'm lacking comfort. I'm losing these things. Are you filled? Lacking power. Are you filled? He can be grieved. He can be quenched. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. It means to extinguish, turn down. For instance, grieving, I could grieve my wife by insulting her, right? I know how to do it, all right? I won't do it tonight, all right? I could grieve her. I can quench her by ignoring her. See, I can grieve her by saying something hurtful, doing something careless, but I can quench her by rolling out of the bed and never saying, "Good morning, I love you." By walking through my day and never saying a word, by never talking to her. Coming to the end of my day, rolling into my bed, rolling the opposite way, and never saying a word. I quenched her. I grieve her through my actions, and I quench her through my silence. See, Christian, we grieve Him through our sin. and we quench him through our silence. We can grieve him by choosing the world and the things of this world, but we turn the knob down on him when we refuse to run to his word, to run to his house, to spend time in prayer. We turn the knob down on God. Why am I empty? Where is my joy? Where is my peace? Where is my filling? Where is my power? Where is the confirmation that I'm his child? Where is this comfort in times of trouble? Where is it? Friend, he's not gone anywhere. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He moved in, took up residence, and he won't leave you. But have you grieved him? Have you silenced him? Sometimes it's just that we just need him. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not an excuse to drink a little bit of alcohol, all right? In case you didn't figure that already. That's a comparison. The flesh and the spirit. Now we know this. I won't do it because you're not even supposed to look at it. But if I were to bring a little bit of alcohol to church tonight, a little fermented beverage tonight, from the minute of the first sip, it begins its work, doesn't it? The moment you take a little bit, it begins doing something in you. Your inhibitions begin to lower, all of those things. But that means you just have it. It's begin to have its effect on your life. But then you begin to drink more of it. And you go into a state of drunkenness. And you come under its complete influence, right? And the longer you stay there, the more drunken you get. Maybe till you fall into a drunken stupor and fall asleep and pass out. But then you'll wake back up the next day. And there would be a need for something more, wouldn't there? Give me another bottle. And you start all over again. The moment of salvation, you got someone. The Holy Spirit of God, and he moved in, and he started his work, and you can't stop that work. One day when we get to glory, we're going to be just like him. He sealed us under the day of redemption. But I will tell you something. If you want his filling, you're going to have to do some seeking, some surrendering, some working. And friend, if you want it to continue, you're going to have to do it today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It is a continuing in him. Look, not every bit of a lack of emptiness or confirmation or comfort is because I've allowed sin into my life or because I've quenched him. Sometimes it's just because I needed him just as much today as I did yesterday. Do you hear me? It's that I can't let days go by without seeking him. Hardships will continue to come. Struggles will continue. Did you ever go through a struggle, a time of struggle? It wasn't a one and done moment, but it was a continual battle in your life. And you found out this, that I needed him each and every day, one step in front of the other, day after day. Because if I let it go for a day, bitterness might creep in. The peace could be lost, the joy could be lost, and all of those things. And there was a reminder to us how desperately I need to get another filling today, and I need more of the Lord. It's what would lead the psalmist to say, early will I seek thee, my heart panteth after thee. I long for thee, Lord. I need you again, and I need you afresh, and I need you new. If you get him today, you'll need him tomorrow. There is a filling. Here's the danger. We quit going to him. We can grieve him through our actions. We can quench him through our silence. And we need him every day. And I will tell you something. If you don't, you'll lose your comfort. You'll lose your power. You'll lose his fruits. If you get too far, you'll lose that confirmation in your heart. You'll lose that instruction in his word. If you let it go for long enough, you quit hearing the conviction in your life. Because there's a need not just to be indwelt, but to be filled. Nah, here's my fear in our world, is that we are losing being spirit-filled in the Christian life. We've quit seeking him. We try to walk with the world and walk with the Lord at the same time. And we grieve him and we silence him and we go days on end without being in his word. And we don't seek his face when it comes to his service, and we don't seek his comfort in our life, and we don't call upon him. And as a result of him, we begin to lose those things in our life that he so clearly gives us. We find ourselves in this idea of trying to live the Christian life on our own, and we abandon ship on some of the abuses of His Spirit and those things in terms of what we see in many different places around our world. But as a result of it, we don't seek His power on the day-to-day basis. And our hearts turn to bitterness, and our bitterness to callousness, and our callousness to uselessness. And we lose the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness, the meekness, the long-suffering, the faith and the temperance. And we lose the confirmation of being a child of God in our heart. And next thing you know, we're sitting on the side of the road, useless before God, saying, I'm empty. No point to what we're doing, our young people, and I love our young people, but sitting around and living for the things of this world without a point to life. Listen to me. What is the problem? It is a lack of His filling is the problem. Because when He comes in, He provides all of that. Without Him, we can do nothing. Go to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to be done. I've got to hurry. I know it's late. But Romans chapter 6, I think there's three principles here in Romans chapter 6 that lead us to a place of what it is to be Spirit-filled in Romans chapter 6. Familiar passage. I want you to think of these three things in light of Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, that's the fruit of the Spirit, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The first thing we see, look at it, verse 1, it says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, to live holy, separate from the world. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we spend a moment longer in the sin that we were saved from? Here's a word to circle, the first word of verse 3, no. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. That's the Spirit-filled new nature of the Christian life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Another word to circle, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Here's the first step to being a Spirit-filled Christian. Prayerfully know. Prayerfully know. Prayerfully seek out who God is. Prayerfully seek for what God has done for you. Prayerfully seek out what God says in His Word. When was the last time you fell on your face before God and said, Lord, teach me from Your Word as I grab it and read it. Lord, here's the struggle I'm facing. Teach me from Your Word what the answer is in Your Word. Prayerfully know. If we do not prayerfully know the Word, we cannot be Spirit-filled. You cannot neglect the Word and be the filled Christian. The filling of God is directly tied to the commandments of God and the Word of God, given by the inspiration of God. As holy men of God, we're moved by the Holy Ghost of God. Our Spirit filling is directly tied to what we know about the Word of God. Prayerfully know the Word. Where you are struggling, prayerfully seek what God says about it. Know Him. Prayerfully know. Prayerfully reckon, verse 11, well, verse 7. For he is dead, is he that is dead is freed from sin. You're dead and freed from sin. You are buried with Him. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing, another word, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, this word reckon, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord. That's when it becomes personal. It's the claiming of it. It's the accounting of it. It's the applying of it. It's the application of it. For instance, in May of 1995, Madera Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, I claimed what Jesus did for me. I had known it growing up in a preacher's home my life. But in May of 1995, Jesus did. I came to the conclusion He didn't just die for the world. He died for me. Not only did they need to trust Him, but I needed to trust Him. And it became personal. Spirit filling is about prayerfully knowing what God says and prayerfully claiming what God has said in my life. It's when it becomes personal. Lord, teach me what your word says and let me apply what your word has said. This is where it gets uncomfortable. Because we can talk about knowing God. But when we pause and say, what does holiness mean in what I wear? What does holiness mean in what I see? What does holiness mean in what I listen to? What does holiness mean in my conversation? What does holiness mean in my relationship? And friend, I could preach all day on forgiveness and grace and mercy, and people would rejoice. But if I touch your music, if I touch your dress, if I trust your TV, if I trust your words, the flesh pops out all over, doesn't it? But holiness and the word isn't just about hearing it and knowing it in my head. It's about its application in my life. When I prayerfully know what he says and I prayerfully reckon to my personal life what he has said to me. Have you applied it? It's where people get mad at preachers. It's where we get mad at God. It's where we don't like the word. It's tread onto what I personally see. But it's where the spirit filling goes. To prayerfully know, to prayerfully claim, to prayerfully yield. Look at what he says here in verse 11 again. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's something not to yield to, and there's something to yield to in this passage of Scripture. A spirit yieldedness. It's when I prayerfully go to God and say, Lord, teach me what your word says. When I walk into the house of God and his word is preached and say, Lord, teach me what your word says. But Lord, beyond letting it be a head knowledge in my head, let me see a personal application to it. Is there something in my life that needs to change? Is there something that I need to pick up? Lord, let me claim it to my life. But that's two thirds of the way there, friend. There is another step. It's when I prayerfully get up from what I know and what I claim and I walk out the door and I say, Dear God, dear Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Let me live it today. Give me the strength today. Give me the wisdom today. Give me the boldness of God today. Let me live this holy life. Let me live this bold life. Fill me and use me, whether it's behind a pulpit or in my home. By the way, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess be filled with the Spirit, led directly into the home. Wives, submitting yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, be obedient unto your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants in the workplace, masters in the workplace. It was everyday Christian living. Everyday Christian living. Spirit filling. It is prayerfully knowing, it is prayerfully reckoning, and it is prayerfully yielding to what he has said in his word. As I see what he says and say, Dear God, strengthen me because of my own accord, I cannot do it. But if you would strengthen me, I believe this, that your grace is sufficient for me. I can forgive where I need to forgive. I can love where I need to love. I can have peace where I need peace. I can have gentleness where I need gentleness. I need to be comforted in the midst of my trial. I can know the power of the Lord and the confirmation of the Lord as I walk out the door and say, I'm going to follow what you say. It is where we become not just hearers of the word, but prayerful doers of the word. This is why, whether you walk with God or not, will make a difference in your life. This is where the rubber hits the road. Because I prayerfully know where his word is. That's insufficient. There's a fellow in Indianapolis when I left there. He was living under a bridge. He was an alcoholic. But at one time, he was a youth worker. What happened? He knew. Matter of fact, he could quote some scripture that most people couldn't. He knew. He quit claiming and he quit yielding. And the flesh grabbed hold. Friend, if you don't have all of him, if you're not filled, you will lack fruit. you will lack power. You will lack comfort. You will lack leading. You will lack confirmation in your life. The further you get from Him, the less of Him, the less of you that He has, the less of Him you'll have evidence in your life. I will tell you what's happening in our churches in this country and in our world right now. It is less of His Spirit and more of the flesh. More of the flesh. And we watch a world that clings to emotionalism, to experiences, to accomplishments, to possessions, and not in the lost world, but among the people of God, to find a fulfillment that only God can bring. And we watch as people become listless, pragmatic, self-willed, victoryless Christians. I don't understand. Recently, someone comes to preach, I'm empty. I'm running on empty. I wish I could say that was uncommon. But I'm afraid that running on empty is becoming common. It's becoming common. We neglect Him. Oftentimes, sometimes we do willfully walk into sin, but many times it's just a quenching. It's just silence. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. Have you leaned on Him today? Have you walked in His Word and prayerfully seek to know what He said, prayerfully sought to claim what He said, and prayerfully sought to yield to what He said? People say, you can't pray your way out of it. You can only pray your way through it. Because if you're not praying your way through it and you're not walking in the Word, you're really not getting through it. You're walking in the flesh, filled with the flesh, doing nothing for Jesus. You may feel good, but you don't have Him at work. And unfortunately, so many times, if we're not careful, we're doing just enough to feel good while trying to hold to the world. We're lacking Him. Without me, you can do nothing. The greatest gift, salvation, given by way of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, didn't end there. Don't just have Him in there, but let Him reign. Let Him fill. Prayerfully grab the Scripture and turn its pages. Lord, teach me Your Word. Let me know. Lord, help me to claim it, to reckon it, to apply it. Show me what it means to me. That will be painful. What comes next won't. Prayerfully yield. And you'll find joy, love, peace, gentleness, long-suffering. You'll find power in your service and to walk the Christian life. You'll find His confirmation in your heart. You'll say, I'm a Christian. Not only because of what He said, but He convicted my heart today. He strengthened my life today. It's come my way. You find the comfort. I've said that I think one of the greatest things a Christian needs to learn is how to heal. Hurts will come. They may come from others, and sometimes they may God and let them in our life. And if you're not careful, that hurt will go to bitterness. And that bitterness will grow to callousness, and that callousness will grow to uselessness. But there is a comforter. There is a comforter that walks inside. Stephan, I'll help you heal. I hope you come alongside. I'll give you love, joy, peace, and gentleness. I'll give you power in your life. But you must prayerfully know. You must prayerfully reckon. You must prayerfully yield. And as we do that, God fills. And you'll find something. Where there was a listlessness, there's now purpose. Where there was where we were pragmatic, we'll find a zealousness for our Savior. Where we were self-willed, we'll find a spirit-filling. Where we were victoryless, we'll find victory. We'll find God at work in our life. So let me ask you something, Christian. Will you prayerfully know Him tomorrow? Will you prayerfully reckon what He says and apply it personally? And will you prayerfully yield to what He has said? That is where the Holy Spirit works. Without Him, you can do nothing. And that is not my word. That is His word. That is His. The Spirit-filled life, it is the often, sadly, neglected agent in the Christian's life. And it is the most needful thing in our life. Lord, fill me, use me, do a work in me. Let's pray together. Lord, I love You and I thank You so much for the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that You give us a spirit filling. I pray that we would seek to know what You have to say. We would seek to apply what You have said. We would seek to yield what You would have us to, You have said. And as a result of that, we would know the power of God that would help us to live what You have said, to experience Your fruit and Your filling and Your working in our life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this. Do you know Him tonight? Could you say tonight, preacher, I know I've been born again. That's a settled thing for me. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. That's settled for me. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Is there anybody here this evening who said, preacher, I am unsure. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand? You say, preacher, I want that assurance in my heart. How many of you say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart? Maybe the Holy Spirit knocked on your door tonight and there was a conviction in your heart. And maybe there's some comfort you need, some fruit of the Spirit you know you're desperately in need of. Maybe it's not that you have neglected Him. Maybe you just need more of Him from day to day. Maybe you have quenched Him and neglected Him. Maybe you have grieved Him. Don't stay there. You say, preacher, the Lord has spoken in my heart. Would you raise your hand and would you stand with me as the pianist begins to play? As God has spoken to your heart, do business with Him tonight. And why don't you just say, Lord, fill me tonight. I want you to know I'm seeking. I don't know how specifically He may have spoken to your heart tonight, but friend, yield to what He has said. Claim what He has said. Call upon Him. Call upon Him with prayer. Decide, not just tonight, but tomorrow, you will walk with Him. Hey, parent, do you have a spirit-filled home? Or are you leading your children not just to a behavior change of life, but to a spirit-filled life? If we're not careful, we raise our children for behavior and not for relationship. And I want my children to behave, but I want them to behave by the working of God in their heart and not just correction in their life. Would you say, Lord, would You work in my home? But as God has spoken to your heart, do business with the Lord this evening.